tell you, as we experience this season and all that God has done for us through 2019, this last Sabbath, we thank God for Jesus. What do you say? Amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless God for our praise team. Amen. Amen. I feel a little insignificant here today, reflecting back on last Sabbath. If you weren't here last Sabbath, you just don't know what you missed. I'm glad the walls were here and the roof and the ceiling. I'm going to try that again. Maybe they'll say amen. God just used our young people last week. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And we just want to bless God. I am one of these people that, and I've said it over and over again, it sounds like a broken record, I don't like funerals. I like the living, not the dead. So I love to give people their flowers when they can touch it, smell it, feel it. Give them their kudos when they can hear it and salivate it and live in their moment. If I had my druthers, I would hire a pastor just to do funerals. Because if I didn't tell you I love you, if I didn't tell you how much God had used you, if I didn't tell you how important you were in my life, you're laying in a box, and me getting up and saying it doesn't do you no good. I can't get no help up in here. So we need to affirm one another. We need to elevate and edify one another. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. God said his glory he will not share with no man. So we're not giving men glory, but we are thanking God for them being available to be used. What do you say? So if you would join me, where's Sister and Elder McCarter? Would you stand? Yeah. 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 And where are all my young people that participated? You stand. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you and we thank God for your ministry in this church. I was sitting there and just listening to the passion with which these young people read the scripture. You would have thought they were David and Job, and it was just awesome. So they had to put work in it. Their parents had to work with them. So let's bless God for the parents that are still bringing their children to church. Amen. 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 We have a little saying. It's a little slogan we use here at the Berean Church, and it is that we are fit people, F-I-T. We are faithful, we are intentional, and we're what, everybody? Transformational. We are faithful, intentional, and transformational. God wants us to be fit for the kingdom. What do you say? Now, I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture. If you can stand on your feet, I will ask you to do so as we honor God in the reading of his word. The word that we would use as a platform for our preaching experience this morning. Two passages of scripture. The first is our collateral text, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. And the second is the gospel according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. I know we carry our Bibles on our iPads and our phones and those gadgets, but I would encourage you to please put your phone on vibrate. I know we got lawyers and doctors and surgeons in here, and somebody's going to be calling you because without you, they will die. But this is God's time. Turn to your neighbor and say, put it on vibrate or turn it off. Amen, 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 amen. The text is on the screen. The first is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 and 20. Through 24. If you can see it, say, I see it. Well, let's read together. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after what? Wisdom. But we do what? Preach Christ crucified. To the Jews is what? A stumbling block, and unto the Greeks are what? Foolishness. But unto those who are what? Called. Christ is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Somebody say amen. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, which is our preaching passage for this morning. Matthew 1 verse 18. When you see it, say, I see it. Let's read together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as Mary his mother was what? Espoused to be married to Joseph, before they came together, what happened? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say hallelujah. Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour is come that your son Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ, should be lifted up. For Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Beloved, for the time allotted to us to share in the preach word this morning, I want to share with us from the topic, the upside of the scandal. The upside of the scandal. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, there is an upside to this scandal. Have you ever been associated with a scandal? Or have you ever been the subject of a scandal? The dictionary, Webster, I believe, online dictionary says, a scandal is a situation or an action that offends propriety or establish moral suggestions and brings disgrace to those who are associated with it. Webster goes on to say that a scandal is a malicious and defamatory gossip that is brought on by infringing on of morality, of religious opinions. In other words, A scandal is a situation or an action that is done by somebody or groups of people that offends or violates established moral norms. Truth be told, beloved, no one in their right mind will want to be a subject of a scandal or associated with a scandal. But as strange, Elder Wilson, as this may sound, there is an upside to a scandal depending on the situation or the context. I wish somebody was listening to me. What I'm trying to say, beloved, is there are benefits to certain scandals. I know. None of us want to be associated with a scandal, but there are benefits. I found out that in 2016, a cable network called Reels.com produced a documentary series called Scandal Made Me Famous. And anybody ever heard of it? Reels.com, this documentary was hosted by Steve and Brad Osborne. Steve Helens hosted it, and Brad Osborne was the narrator. And this documentary was a biographical series that brought ordinary people like Casey Anthony. Anybody ever heard that name? Lorena Babbitt. Anybody ever heard that? Or Emmy Fisher to become household names. I'm talking about a scandal. This biographical series called Scandal Made Me Famous allow Casey Anthony and Lorena Babbitt and some of the others that are featured in it to become famous, or may I say to attain to infamy. They became stars. They became the subjects of conversations in homes and households. So I think it is safe to say that there are some scandals, oh bless God, that have benefits, or at least that can make you a household name. Come with me as we track through the text of Paul's first letter to the church of Corinth, the first chapter, and the 22nd through the 24th verses. There, beloved, we find a scandal that every blood-bought believer will be glad and is glad to be associated with. Here's how the text reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 22. It says, for the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23 begins by saying, but we preach Christ crucified, And here's where I want you to pay attention. The next line says, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. There are two Greek words that I want to call our attention to this morning. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. That word, Sister McCarter, comes from the Greek word scandalon. Stumbling block. Scandalon. That's the word from which we get our English word scandal. Defamatory gossip. A situation or an action that offends established moral suggestions and brings disgrace to the people associated with it. Paul says that we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. But this crucifixion, beloved, to the Jews is a scandalon. It is scandalous. It is defamatory. It is despicable. The Jews are offended when they hear about the fact that their God came in the form of a man and allowed himself to be disgraced and abused and humiliated by sinful man. It is scandalous because of the Jews' religious opinions. They cannot imagine that Yahweh, the transcendent an almighty God, a God who is higher than the highest height, will allow himself to come down and allow man to arrest him and nail him to a cross and spit on his face. They say this is scandalous. Matter of fact, the Greek says it is moron. That's the word from which we get our English word moron or foolish or stupid or crazy. This says it is morinous. It is foolishness for anybody to think that God will allow himself to be treated this way. Oh, but beloved, I want to say to the Jews and to the Greeks that if you think the cross is scandalous, you haven't seen anything yet. Follow me in Matthew's redaction of the history of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 that the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to be married to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. If you think anything is scandalous, this is the super duper scandal. For a young woman, this teenage Jewish maiden, to have the nerve, to have the unmitigated gall, to have the audacity to say to her fiancé and to the rest of the world, I'm still a virgin, but I'm pregnant. And wait a minute before you start getting your medicine for your heart attack. This pregnancy is not by man, but is by the Holy Ghost. I said that is scandalous. Turn to your neighbor and say, but there's an upside to the scandal. Oh, beloved, I stopped by to tell you today that the Jews consider the cross and they consider the birth of Jesus Christ a scandal, but though to those of us who are called, the Bible says both Jews and Greek, Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is there two people in here who's not ashamed about the power and the wisdom of God, that God does stuff that you and I will never understand? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. As far as the heaven is from the earth and the east is from the west, so are my ways from your ways. I thank God this morning that God doesn't think the way I think and rationalize the way I rationalize, because the foolishness of God, oh bless his name, is wisdom and beats all of the wisdom that man can ever come up with. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's an upside to this candle. Mary, this young Jewish maiden. And here is how it happens, Sister Weegar. She oh bless his name. She leaves home because her cousin Rebecca, or Elizabeth, excuse me, who has been barren all her life and now is old and dry up, she gets pregnant and she has been carrying that baby for 6 months. And the angel comes to Mary and says to Mary, God has picked you to do something that will shock the world. Mary says, what is it? God is going to let you get pregnant. Oh, bless his name. But Joseph won't have anything to do with it. What are you talking about? And I want you to go visit your cousin Elizabeth, because she is pregnant too. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Elizabeth pregnant? It didn't happen when she was 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. Elizabeth pregnant? And the angel doesn't come to Mary until 6 months in Elizabeth's pregnancy. Why? Because at 6 months, you are entering your second trimester. I wish somebody would help me. And you are beginning to show. So Mary needs to see that what God is getting ready to do through her, he has already done it through somebody. I wish somebody was listening to me. When she comes, Elizabeth doesn't have to say anything. Because what my mama used to tell my sisters when they were growing up is, when you get pregnant, you can't hide it, because it doesn't grow behind your back. It grows in the front. That doesn't matter how you dress it up, tie it up, squeeze it up. Sooner or later, it shows up. I wish there was somebody in here who's excited about the fact that when God begins to do something in you, he works from the inside out, and he allows people to see it on the outside, even though they don't know what's happening on the inside. I wish somebody would hear me. Is there two people in here who can testify? Don't be looking at my back. Look at my front, because God is doing something on the outside. He's doing something on the front. He's doing something, and there is no secret what God can do. What he's done for me, he can do for you too. Mary leaves and comes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and when she gets there, she sees Elizabeth, and she said, uh-oh. But before she could say, the Bible said, the baby begins to leap in Elizabeth's stomach because the baby recognized that his cousin was also growing in Mary's stomach. I'm talking about our in vitro praise and worship going on. See, when God blesses you, the praise happens on the inside before it comes on the outside. What's that song, Sister McCarter? On the inside. Yeah, on the inside. See, the problem with most of us is we're waiting for something to crawl up on us. But the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the inside. God is working this thing. And when Mary comes and sees what has happened to old dried up Elizabeth, she said, there's got to be a God somewhere. Now she has the courage to go back to Joseph. Oh, but before she gets to Joseph, the angel has already gone and talked to Joseph and said, Joseph, Mary is coming home. And when she comes, her body will look a little different. She will walk with a little lean. She won't look like she did when she left because she spent a few months with her cousin and the baby is growing in her. And you go, but don't you put her away. Don't you take her to the city center and cause them to stone her to death, because this thing that is in her, this holy thing, is of the Lord. What a scandal. Oh, my brothers and sisters, but what man called a scandal is really the wisdom of God. Do you know that before this scandal took place, God had already publicized it 700 years before Jesus was born? God was intentional about this scandal because God always, Elder Landry, uses the devil's weapon against him. Oh, bless his name. See, the devil caused a scandal several hundred years ago in the Garden of Eden. He caused our forefathers to obey him instead of obeying God. And sin came into the world. And the whole world is affected by this scandal. I know you think you are not, because you've been coming to church for a few years and a few months, but if truth be told, if the closets could be open, if we could just shine some light in the room, all of us got some scandal. And turn to your neighbor and say, you got one, and I got one. So stop looking at me cross-eyed. See. And so God says, I'm going to take the devil's weapon and use it against him. God is always good at using the devil's weapon against him. You remember when the children of Israel are going through the wilderness, their rebellion caused God to send fiery serpents to bite them. And when they are dying, Moses goes and prays to God, and God says, okay, I'm going to use the devil's weapon against him. They're being bit by fiery serpent. What I want you to do, Moses, is make a brazen serpent and put it on a stake. And whenever they are bit by the deadly serpent, they can look at the brazen serpent and live. Turn to your neighbor and say, God always uses the devil's weapon against him. And so now, my brothers and sisters, God is using the devil's weapon against him again. 700 years before this scandal is revealed in its tangible experience. God speaks to Isaiah. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, where Isaiah writes of this baby that will be born when he says, Lachem ne ten Adonai. Lachem ne ten Adonai. Ye lakend ot. God himself, Yahweh himself, will show you a sign. He and ye ha'alma hara ve'oled daben. The virgin shall be pregnant and will give birth to a son that karat shamo Emmanuel. And she will call his name Emmanuel. God had already said 700 years ago that this was going to happen. This was not a secret. This was not anything that God was doing under the table. God wanted this candle because he was going to use it to outdo the devil's candle. I wish somebody was listening. And so this young woman now, this Ha'olma, is pregnant. She has this baby in her stomach to deliver. And the Greeks call it foolishness for us to talk about the birth of Jesus like that. And the Jews call it a scandal, scandalous, a stumbling block. Oh, but to those of us who are called by the grace and mercies of God, the Bible said Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. There are three things, three testimonies, three tangible realities that we can take out of this scandal. Are you ready for it? The first one is God's obligation to himself to save us. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, that Yeshua, Jesus, was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had obligated himself to save humanity. God didn't have to create us, you know, because sin was not a shock to God. God knew that when he created man, man would sin. But God had already made a plan. And God said, I'm not going to send an angel. I'm not going to send no other terrestrial being. I will come myself to deliver them from their sins because I created them. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. And how could he come? He couldn't come in the awesome might of his glory. He would have destroyed all of us. He couldn't come with his celestial glitter. He would have destroyed us. And so he had to come like one of us. Oh, bless his name. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8, he said, even though he was equal with God, he thought it not robbery, but took off his divinity and put on humanity. He shrouded himself in the form of a servant and was willing to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of that, God has highly exalted him. I stopped by to tell somebody, Jesus could not have come in his glory. He had to come through a scandal so that you and I can walk with our heads up. So the first testimony that this scandal teaches us is God's obligation to himself to save us. The second testimony that this candle teaches us is God's obliteration of our sins and the punishment for it. Oh, bless his name. Here's what the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16. You already know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Obliteration of the punishment of death that was upon us. We were sentenced to die. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God had obliterated our sin. God had made an obligation to himself to save us, and now he has obliterated our sins. And the third testimony that this candle teaches us is that God has opened the door that invites us into heirship with Jesus. You see, it's not just good enough that our sins be forgiven and that our punishment be obliterated, but we have to come back into oneness with God as children of God. So Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God sending Jesus through this candle had opened the gates to us becoming sons and daughters of God. I stopped by to tell somebody today, that candle made me famous. Or somebody's asking you, well, preacher, how famous are you and what can you show to prove that you are famous? I said, come with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Here's what it says. Now are we the sons, and may I add the daughters of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I was supposed to die, but I'm now alive. I was blind in sin, but now I can see. I said there's an upside to this candle. Turn to your neighbor and say there's an upside to this candle. Oh yes, this candle, beloved, outdid the candle in the Garden of Eden. This candle, beloved, lets me know that God will go to any length and to any level to save us. The songwriter said he will pick you up if he got to reach way down. The Jews call it a scandalon. The Greeks call it foolishness. But we call it the power and the glory and the wisdom of God. So I stopped by to tell somebody today, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. I join Paul and all of the saints of the ages, dead and alive, that I and we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jews first and then to us Greeks and Gentiles. God has come to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Is there two people in here today who is thankful to be associated with this candle? Scandal made me famous. Turn to your neighbor and say, scandal made me famous. Now I'm a child of God. Now I'm a son of God. Now I'm a daughter of God because Jesus was born. Let's leave here today walking with our head up. I don't care what you've done, where you've done it, who you've done it with. I thank God that there's no scandal that can out-scandal the birth of Jesus Christ. Tell them he was born in Bethlehem. Tell them he was raised in Nazareth. Tell them he was arrested in Jerusalem. Tell them he was nailed upon Calvary. Tell them he was placed in Joseph's borrowed tomb. But also remember to tell them that early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. It would not have been possible without the scandal of his birth. So I thank God for the scandal, because the scandal has made me famous. The scandal has set me free. The scandal has made me a son of the living God. The scandal has obliterated my sin. I thank God for Jesus, Mary's baby, Jesus, the rose of Sharon, Jesus, the lily of the valley, Jesus, the bright morning star, Jesus, the heavenly sharer. Is he your low sharer? Somebody shout hallelujah. So let's go and tell it on the mountain. Let's tell it in the valleys. Let's tell men, women, boys and girls that they don't have to go to a Christless grave, because Jesus was born. Jesus has lived. Jesus died. Jesus is risen. And thank God that's not all. Jesus is coming back. The biggest scandal that the world will ever see will be when Jesus shows up. And those who are dead are popping out of the grave like popcorn. And those of us who are alive are caught up together to meet them in the air. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forevermore of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there to lift my voice. All my cares are past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Do you want to see him? Do you want to go with him? Do you want to live with him? And I ask you a little crazy question. Isn't he coming back for you? Isn't he coming back for you? Tell somebody, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. There is an upside to the scandal. I'm opening the doors of the church. Everybody's standing. As we prepare to transition from 2019 into 2020, this is the last Sabbath. Somebody wants to say, preacher, I have a scandal. But I thank God that the scandal he orchestrated outshines my scandal. And I want to be associated with his scandal. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the soon coming of Jesus Christ. If you are here, I ask you to just walk out of your seat and come. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, In 2020, I need a canopy of protection over me. I don't know what 2020 has in store, but I want to be on God's side. I want him to walk with me and talk with me. I want to give my life. I want to give my gifts. I want to give my talents. I want to give my time to serving God as I serve humanity. And I want to do it as a part of this church. If you are here, I'm asking you to come. Give your life to Jesus. 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 Come on now. Oh. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, call his name. Yeah. Somebody just came. Somebody just came. Somebody else need to come. This is it. You didn't do it in 2019, but you're not left out, because this is the last Sabbath in 2019. Come on, everybody, call his name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Don't leave this place like you came. You don't have time. You don't know what God is getting ready to do for you, do through you, do to you in 2020. And you want to say, preacher, I'll give you my hand, but I give God my heart. Would you come? Don't worry about what you've done, where you've done it, who you've done it with. Just get associated with his candle. And he will obliterate yours. He has an obligation to save you. And he will open the doors to make you part and join heir with Christ. And then there's somebody here who you already saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You just moved to this area and you're looking for a church home. And you say, I want to come. I want to transfer my membership. I want to come by profession of faith. I'm calling you to come. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful church. Jesus. Jesus. Would you come? Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We give you glory, God, for the scandal. We thank you that there's an upside to the scandal. Oh God, I pray for those who came up, God. Do something extraordinary through them. And save us all. In Jesus' name, amen.